We are grateful for your presence among us today, in person, and for those of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. You've all probably noticed that there is a little canopy up out at the cemetery. This week, Eddie Hedrick, Joe Hedrick's brother, died, and they're having a service this afternoon at Davidson Funeral Home, and then the burial after. So please hold the family of Eddie Hedrick in your prayers. This morning, you'll notice that in the bulletin, instead of saying the Apostles' Creed like we usually do, we are going to be saying the Nicene Creed. So as Lutherans, there are three creeds that we believe and can recite in worship: the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. We hardly ever do the Athanasian Creed. If it's done, it's done on Trinity Sunday, and it's really, really long. The Nicene Creed is typically done on high holy days in the season of Easter. But a couple of weeks ago in the children's sermon, I don't exactly remember how it came up, but Calvin and I were talking about there being a different creed. Do you remember that? So we're going to do it today. I told you there's a different one, so we're going to do it. It was a little bit too long to have in the bulletin and keep the bulletin at 12 pages, so we've put the page that the creed is on in the hymnal in the bulletin. So that is a little bit different today. Immediately following worship is our semi-annual congregational meeting. I don't think it'll last long, but we do ask that following worship you stay seated, and we'll get that underway. It's hard to believe, but Lent begins this Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is coming. We are having an Ash Wednesday service at 6:30, and you are all invited to join. Following the annual meeting up here, I'm going to have a few things for Lent. Unfortunately, our devotionals did not arrive this week like they were supposed to. They are supposed to come tomorrow, so hopefully I'll have those on Wednesday, and you can pick them up at the service. But I do have today devotional booklets for children and families, and I have a schedule with some of the important things that we have going on here at Holly Grove during Lent for you to take home and put on your refrigerator. We have two birthdays this week. Tim Everhart's birthday is today, and in honor of Kate Cecil's first birthday, Debbie has brought some beautiful flowers this morning. So I say our miracle baby turns one this week, and we celebrate with you all. And there are no anniversaries. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I just want to offer a personal note of thanks. Several of you have shown up for me twice this week. I shared my story at Agape on Monday night, and some of you came out especially for that, to support me and to listen to me. And then yesterday at my mother's ordination service, some of you attended that. And I cried almost the whole way home last night from Winston-Salem to Lexington, thinking about how meaningful it is for me that you would take time out of your schedules to show up for me and to be present for me and my family. You know, I don't really have family outside of my mom, and you all have become my family. And so for you to show up for me in these kind of ways, it means so very much to me, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you.
and throughout for hear their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your face in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for Transfiguration Sunday is from the 34th chapter of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 99, to be recited verse by verse. The Lord is king, let the people tremble.
The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord, great in Zion,
is high above all peoples.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool.
God is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron, among your priests, and Samuel, among those who call upon your name. You spoke to them out of the pillow of cloud.
They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed.
You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill.
The Lord our God is the Holy One.
The second reading is from the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of the Lord according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after saying these things, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for Moses and one for Elijah, one for you," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one of any of the things that they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Calvin, do you want to come forward or hang out in your seat today? All right, you come on. I'm going to grab the handheld mic today because I think oftentimes when you come up front, people really want to hear what you have to say. Here, let me turn this on. Is this on, Neil?
I was wearing these colors to for Ukraine in honor of them. My mother over there, she's also wearing blue and yellow.
I think that's very
special. Okay. So he's got blue shoes on and his yellow shirt. You can hold that if you want to. So I've got a couple things we could talk about this morning in mind, but I think people also really love it when you ask questions. And so I thought if you wanted, I could open it up and say, do you have any questions about our worship service? Why we do what we do? Why things are the way they are? Okay, go ahead and tell us your question.
My question is, if all these events in the Bible happened so long ago, and like what just happened, they told nobody. How did who wrote the Bible? Who found out about all of this stuff? Because it's just crazy. Like, how do they? It's been to my mind how they just gather this information without like Jesus being like, we're keeping this top secret between our friend group with like Jacob and everybody else. So, yeah.
That's a really good question, and I don't think you are alone in that question. So I heard a couple. One, how did the Bible even come to be written?
Yeah.
But for this particular story, if Jesus told them not to tell anybody, then how does anybody know about this story and what they saw?
Did it get like passed down or something?
So it did get passed down. For this particular story, after Jesus died and was resurrected, then James and John and Peter began to tell this story. It's sort of like if you experience something, you sort of take it in and hold it in your mind and your heart. And then as time passes, the time that passes helps you to understand what you experienced.
He was in heaven. He was still watching, but he was like, he wasn't on earth anymore. He was in heaven, and I'm sure he was watching them, trying to make sure that he would fulfill like his legacy of Jesus.
Yeah, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples to help them, remember the things that he taught them, and to help them live out God's love in the world. And so after Jesus died and after he was resurrected, the disciples began to interpret and understand Jesus's life and all that he had so much differently than when he was alive. Because the resurrection, rising from the dead, although it's very common knowledge for us that Jesus did that, so much so that it feels normal. Of course Jesus rose from the dead, and of course someday we are going to as well. But for them, it was absolutely mind-blowing. And so that was the lens through which they began to understand everything he had said and taught them and had done while he was among them.
Century. I think we have a little bit more time left to go before the 17th century. There's no witches right now. There's no wizards going on.
And so one of the things you said about the Bible being written was that these stories about Jesus did get passed on and handed down. Actually, the entire Old Testament, I mean, especially those first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those stories were told by mouth for centuries before they were ever written down onto paper. One of the things that God's people have always done is told the stories about what God has done over and over and over so that it becomes a part of our heart and it becomes a part of our mind. And so eventually those words got written down. But as far as the Gospels, they actually weren't written until several decades after Jesus died, but the stories had gotten handed on. And some people eventually kind of wrote them down.
Sorry, because like any person out of that family would know, I feel like they'd have to be like FBI agents just busting in on the information, trying to gather all of it.
Yeah, it was a lot of information, and I can't remember which gospel, maybe it's John that says, if all the things that Jesus were to have done and said were to be written down, there's just no way to contain it all. So the people that did write the Gospels had to choose which stories and which things Jesus said to include.
Fill up a whole building.
Probably so.
Because it's so overwhelming, the amount of events that happened back then. It was like, one day an important thing happens, the next day an important thing happens. And right now, well, there's a lot of important things happening around the world. At that time, it was like important thing, one after another. And now we have like important things that last a little bit longer, like Ukraine and Russia. I'm trying to think. Basically, Ukraine and Russia right now, that's a good example. because it started like a week ago, I think.
Well, maybe to close our time together, would you like to say a prayer for Ukraine and Russia? Okay, well, let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your church. And thank you, God, that when we come to you with questions, that there is no question that is too big, or no doubt that is too hard, that we can bring to you. This morning, our hearts are heavy for the people of Ukraine. We ask that you would be with them and keep them safe. We ask that you would be with the leaders in Russia and inspire them to cease this war and to seek out peace. God, you love this world so much and all the people in it. Help us to love others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. I 100% agree with you, my friend. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 7 Sundays ago, which I know that's a long time ago, I can hardly remember yesterday or the day before, but 7 Sundays ago, the 12 days of Christmas came to an end as we celebrated the Feast of Epiphany. We read the story of the Magi and how God led them, likely to the toddler Jesus, toddling around, that God led them to Jesus by the leading of a star. We celebrated and remembered that God revealed God's very self in Jesus to the whole world, to all nations, to all people. And for the past 7 Sundays in this season after Epiphany, we have heard stories of how God revealed and continues to reveal God's presence in Jesus to the world. And today is Transfiguration Sunday. The Feast of Epiphany is bookended by these 2 events. Epiphany, God revealing God's self to the world, and Transfiguration, God revealing to us both Jesus's humanity and his divinity. Several years ago now, for a few months, I lived with a family who at that time had 3 young children. Every night we ate dinner together. Before the meal was through, we would go around the table from youngest to oldest and share our roses and thorns from the day. Some families call it sharing your highs and lows, but they called it your roses and thorns. A rose is the best part of your day, and the thorns are the lowest part of your day. For the children, a thorn might be something like getting a boo-boo or somebody hurting their feelings. The high might be having a play date with a friend or not having any homework that day. The youngest child was 2 at that point, and for months his high was going to his granddad's house at the beach. Even after that trip was long over, every day his high was going to Pappy Lee's house. Every day, every night at dinner, we had this same pattern of sharing our roses and thorns our highs and lows. There's a rhythm to our lives that kind of follows this as well. We sort of fluctuate between mountain highs and valley lows, and although I'm much more content to kind of stay somewhere in between than having lots of mountain highs, we often find ourselves in these two very different places. Some mountain highs might include getting a promotion or falling in love or having a baby. But some of the valley lows are things like losing a job, losing a loved one, getting in a car accident, going through some kind of illness or injury. For Jesus and the three disciples he took with them, the transfiguration was a true mountaintop experience. It was likely the most incredible thing they had seen since they dropped everything to follow Jesus. I mean, this was true mountaintop stuff. A bright shining light, the appearance of Moses and Elijah, two of their most treasured religious figures, and then the voice of God declaring what they hoped was true when they decided to follow Jesus, that this was God's Son, God's chosen one. But then, and always then, there is a low. They have to come back down the mountain. They have to come back down from that experience, telling no one what they heard or saw. They can't stay on that mountain as much as they want to. Jesus doesn't even let them build these shrines to celebrate and remember what they experienced. It would have been a lot easier if they could have stayed on that mountaintop where Jesus's humanity and divinity was celebrated. But they have to come back down, because after all, coming down is at the heart of Jesus's ministry. Jesus came down to earth. He was born a human. We believe in the incarnation, which is God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul reminds us that although Jesus is God and was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But instead, he emptied himself completely, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And then once he was emptied and born in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus came down to earth and experienced humanity in all its fullness, with its highs and its lows, right there among his disciples. In just a few minutes, we're going to profess our faith with the Nicene Creed. And one of the lines in the Nicene Creed says, "For us and for our salvation, Jesus came down from heaven." God in Christ came down from heaven so that we could have life and have it abundantly, so that we could know God's love and grace and mercy. Jesus could have stayed up there on that mountain, seeking a place apart where he was united with Moses and Elijah, but he didn't. Yet again, he came down. He came down from that mountain, down to where his disciples are, down to where we are, down to the challenges of life here below, down to the problems and anxieties and obstacles that are part and parcel of what it means to be human. Jesus came down, if we read more of that passage, we know that Jesus came down knowing full well that the real low he would endure for us was the crucifixion. We know he was resurrected, and resurrection, of course, is our deepest hope. It's the ultimate mountain high experience, but resurrection is not possible without coming down and without enduring death. We don't like the valleys, none of us do, but they're unavoidable. It's part of living human life. It's not a matter of if we will have lows, it's a matter of when we will have lows. But even in the lowest of lows, in the lowest of valleys, God walks with us, and we are never, ever alone. God is right there among us. God comforts us and leads us through those valleys, through those lows. And remember, even in the darkest of valleys, darkness is not dark to God. Not just at the Transfiguration, but always and even now, Jesus keeps coming down. He comes down to be with us and to endure with us the muck and messiness of life, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.
together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, and who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Transform us by your greatness, O God. Send us down the mountain to share joy with all people. Make us agents of change, confident that your hope will vanquish despair and your goodness will conquer evil. God of grace, hear our prayer. The mountains and the valleys sing your praise. Dazzle us with your presence in every landscape. Bluffs built by ancient glaciers, canyons carved out by flowing rivers, flat horizons with uninterrupted views, and sands shaped by ocean tides. God of grace, you love justice and establish equity. Strengthen leaders of local governments, community nonprofits, and grassroots campaigns. Bless them with gifts of integrity, creativity, and sound conscience. Build up safe and joyful communities where all people may thrive. God of grace, heal those who are in distress, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Bob, Sandra, Jana, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts and strength to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. God of grace, today we shout Alleluia from the mountaintop. This week we enter the wilderness of Lent. Bless all people who lead your people in worship during this change of season, pastors, deacons, musicians, and all who contribute to the worship life of your church. God of grace, blessed are they who listen to Christ's voice in this life and now rest with him, especially Robin Beck and Joanne Turner. Transform us from glory into glory and give us your peace that we do not lose heart. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table. Nourish us with this heavenly food and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ, our light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your love. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all, strengthened with the richness of your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord till your heart looks like God's heart.